Now's the time in our service where we take communion. And, you know, we've been encouraged to share more of a testimony instead of an exposition of the crucifixion. This past men's night, when the men got together, they talked about a rule of life. And what does that mean? And the spiritual discipline of having a rule of life. Sort of a, when all else fails, this is what I'm going to go by. This is what I can hold on to. You know, my rule of life is basically two things. Colossians 3, set your hearts on things above, set your minds on things above. It's the only passage I understand when things happen that I don't understand. And the other is if I pick my battles based on what will benefit my children. So I guarantee you anything that I do is because either I'm trying to get my heart right and my mind right with heaven, or I am fighting a battle for the sake of my kids. But the reason I mention that is that there's a book called Grace-Based Parenting by Dr. Tim Kimmel. And in it, he has kind of a rule of parenting, two rules of parenting. One, I want to teach my kids that it is sometimes difficult to do the right thing, but there's always grace. And number two, you can make a difference. Foundation of any parenting that I do, I want to be those two things. And when I thought about those, reading the book again, it helped me to realize that in my own life, as part of my own testimony, I need grace. I just do. Dr. Kimmel gives an example, and I appreciate this example. If you've read the book, forgive me. Imagine one of those big puzzles. Okay, we're talking the 1,000 or 2,000 piece puzzles with little tiny pieces that are real annoying. Okay, imagine, we'll just say a 1,500 piece puzzle, little tiny pieces. You're going to put this puzzle together. Oh, okay, well, no problem. I'll just, you know, Oh, wait. There's a catch to this. Someone has taken a handful of pieces from a different puzzle and just kind of scattered those in the bottom of the box. Okay. No problem. I will just outline the edges. I'll find those edgy pieces. They're real easy to find. I'll put down the boundary and then I'll fill in everything in between. Oh, they took those out. Oh. So you've got to form your own boundary when you put this thing together. Okay, sure, no problem. I'll just take the picture on the box and you know, that'll give me a good idea. Oh, I lost the cover of the box. So, I've got no idea what this looks like. I've got extra pieces that don't fit. I have no boundary. They're really tiny little pieces, and the whole thing's very annoying. This doesn't sound like fun to me. And yet, in a lot of ways, that's what parenting is. My kids are both under 2 years old, and I looked at that analogy and I went, yeah. I feel like somebody took like two handfuls of some of those other puzzles. You know, I have like five or six puzzles going together. You know, it's like, okay, I spent all this time. I put this anyway. It's not fun, but you know, it is rewarding. When life, in a lot of ways, is like that. It's not just parenting. You know, I want to follow the Lord. I want to be a good Christian, and I put these pieces together, and I think I got it, you know? Oh, look, it's a tree. I can do a tree. Trees are good. Oh, trees aren't part of the puzzle. This is the handful of pieces, right? Yeah. I got this great section down here in the bottom right-hand corner. This is cool. I can deal with this, right? Oh, it actually belongs up there. Okay. Oh, by the way, all those things that you put together, they really don't fit. You can't cut the pieces and make them fit together. The picture doesn't look right. All right, so I'll put the scissors in my back pocket. Life can be that way. And I need grace. I really don't want somebody to just come by and go, six pieces. I got eight. Oh, you got this corner. That's the easy corner. That's not what I need. What's the answer? The answer, of course, is Jesus, as he's described in John 1. John 1, 14 through 17. And I'll just read it. We'll actually turn to Matthew 5. That's what we're going to read out of. Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. John testified him and shouted out, "This one was the one about whom I said, 'He who comes after me is greater than I am,' because he existed before I ever was. For we've all received his fullness from his fullness, one gracious gift after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God, the only one who himself is God. No one has ever seen God. The only one who himself is God is in the closest fellowship with the Father, and he has made God known to us." Jesus came full of grace and truth. And I'm looking at the puzzle of my life. It's good to know that he has come with grace and truth. He can help me put some of the pieces together. But more than I need the truth, I need grace. Midweek, we read the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and we compared it to Matthew 23, the seven woes. And I'm going to read from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. I'm going to go through verses 1 through 13. This is the Jesus that I need in my life. He saw the crowds when he went up to the mountain, and he sat down as disciples. After he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to teach them by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets that came before you in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. That is the Jesus that helps me. You know, grace can sometimes grace is tricky. You think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set this really high standard, and I'm going to put together all these things that I must do to maintain this high standard. Because when I set this high standard, I don't want to come down. I don't want to fall. So I'm going to set this up right here. And then I'm going to make sure that I do this every day, and make sure I do this every day. I'm going to make sure I say this every day. I'm going to make sure I do just the right way, and build up the foundation under it so that I don't fall from a great height. After a while, I can't live that way. Instead, I look to Jesus, who says, "This is who you are. Poor, tired, persecuted, maybe even frustrated." It's not in the text, but that's at least where I am. Here's where you are. Sin is always going to be a part of your life, and you can deal with it, and we're going to deal with it, and I'm with you every step of the way. But I'm here to build you up. You're not on this great height. You don't have this great standard which you're going to fall from. I'm going to meet you where you are, and I'm going to build you up. To me, that's what grace really is. Grace is more than just forgiveness of my sin. Grace is Jesus dwelling with us, and as he does in the Beatitudes, building us up. Back to the puzzle. You know, I hope that I'm not judged at the end of time based on how much of the puzzle I get completed. Because if I die next year, I'm getting cheated out of about 30 years that some other people have gotten. Boy, my puzzle's going to be... And I may even have the wrong pieces. I seem to have a lot of them now. I hope I'm not judged on that. Instead, I believe in a Jesus that says, you want to do the right thing. If you didn't, you would not have become a Christian in the first place. And I think that's true for everyone here. We want to do the right thing. You hunger and thirst for it, you will be blessed. You see all these things in the world and you want to make changes. You know, I'm there with you. I'm here to build you up. So much in the world tears you down. I am here to build you up. If I can give any testimony at all, it's not for the great things that have happened in my life. It's not for the great faith that I have. It's not because I can put two words together in a sentence fairly decently. Because I can't really. The great testimony that I have is that Jesus is dwelling with us and is with us, and he builds us up every step of the way. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray you help us to accept the wonderful gift that you gave us, the gift of your Son on the cross, that because of his sacrifice, we have a hope of heaven. We have a hope of eternal life. We have a hope of the eternal counselor with us, the Holy Spirit, who speaks on our behalf, who encourages us, who gives us the words to say when we don't know what to say, who prays on us when we prays for us when we don't know what to pray. Thank you for his sacrifice that enables us to live life to the full as you promised. It may not be rich, it may not be glorious, but it's forgiven. And I thank you so much for those things. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.